It's gonna be a good day, and everything is going to go my way. It's gonna be a good day. The sun is shining bright and it's here to stay.
Hey, Phoenix, and welcome to the very first episode of the Gay PHX Podcast, coming to you from the shadows of the radio towers. I'm your host, Billy Foster, and I'm glad you're here. This show's all about celebrating our Phoenix LGBTQ plus community. We'll be talking to the people making things happen, spotlighting voices you may not hear elsewhere, and having a little fun along the way. This week's episode is a special one. We're kicking things off with a focus on Mr. Anvil Phoenix Weekend, brought to you by the Arizona Men of Leather. You'll hear from people involved in this year's event, reflection from leaders in the leather and kink community, and we'll wrap up with a special business spotlight you won't want to miss. Hey, Phoenix, it's a big week in the Valley. Leather, parties, and pride. And now here's Brian with everything you need to know.
Well, hey there, Phoenix. It's Brian, and it's time to get your gear polished and your weekend clear because AML is serving up the heat with Mr. Anvil Phoenix 2025. On Thursday, April 10th, we kick things off with Bondage Karaoke at Anvil, starting at 9 p.m. and rolling deep into the night. Bring your voice, your rope skills, or just your curiosity. It's a perfect way to loosen up for the wild weekend ahead. Friday, April 11th, 6 p.m., we have a leather happy hour and pizza party. Grab a slice, snag a drink, and mingle with the hottest crowd in town. 8 p.m., Melrose Play Party. Hot iron, heavy loads, $30 entry, all that steamy steel and serious fun, going until midnight. 9 p.m., we have Bluff Leather Social. Dress sharp, show up strong for that classic leather swagger. Saturday, April 12th, start the day at 10 a.m. with stretching, sluts, and slings, yoga with an edge, and the perfect warm-up for what's to come. At 11 a.m., throw on your swimwear and hit the Mr. Anvil Tempe Pool Party. Splashy, sunny, and full of skin. Then at 8 p.m., the main event, the Mr. Anvil Phoenix 2025 contest lights up the stage, followed by the legendary Anvil parking lot dungeon party. Leather, demos, and late night heat. What more could you want? And if you got the stamina, the party keeps going. Midnight to 3 a.m. is the DOI dungeon party, deep, dark, and delicious. Sunday, April 13th, ease into your final day with a leather yoga power and submission at 11 a.m., a little breath work, and a whole lot of control. Then from 1 p.m. to 5 p.m., it's time to raise a glass for the Anvil 15th anniversary party. Celebrating 15 years of community, kink, and unforgettable nights, $1,500 in cash will be given away. So shine your boots, bring your best, and let's make this weekend to remember. I'll see you all out there. Bye.
Want all the details? Head over to GayPHX.com, your one-stop shop for queer events, promos, and everything happening in the Valley. So I'd like to welcome to the microphone someone who's had a big impact in the leather and LGBTQ plus community, held the title of Mr. Michigan Leather. He created Team Friendly, and he's judged some of the biggest contests around the country. So welcome to the microphone, Dave.
Thanks,
Watt.
Billy. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing great. Excited to be here.
Excellent. You held the title of Mr. Michigan Leather in 2009, correct?
Well, I currently hold the title of Mr. Michigan Leather 2009.
I guess it's not something that expires.
Sometimes it's the title's taken away. So, you know, I'm still Mr. Michigan Leather 2009.
And what drew you to the leather title scene?
I mean, I'm a believer in title holders. I've seen the effects that title holders have had on their community, opportunities that it creates. And I was definitely blessed with the experience that I had as being a title holder. So I just want to pass that on. I don't plan on ever running for a title again. So I encourage people to, consider running for a title. I like to support contests by being a judge, too.
And what do you consider someone who to be qualified to be a title holder?
I think everybody is qualified to be a title holder. It's a way to give back to the community. So it's a way to, you know, truly get to know yourself, what's important to you, and make good use of your time, you know, when you're out and about doing things. And the title kind of amplifies your voice. So if you're of any type of personality, a title will help you have more of an impact with what you do with your life.
regardless of what it is, career-wise, personal-wise.
It could be career-wise or mission or, you know, charity or just like, you know, I was talking to somebody who's going to compete at IML and they want to raise awareness about prostate cancer, you know, and making sure they have prostate exams. So it's just whatever, you know, whatever you'd like to, you know, amplify, whatever point you want to make or something that you have to say, a title can help you do that.
Excellent. And what would you say to someone who's on the fence about running for a title like Mr. Anvil?
I would say that I'm excited for them to even consider it, right? So then it's just a matter of when to run for the title. Like if something's holding them back, maybe there's something going on personal, because it is a commitment. You know, it is a year-long commitment, sometimes longer, to, you know, represent that title. So to me, it's about at what point in your life would it be best to run for the title is usually when I talk to people about.
Do you know what kind of duties are involved with someone who's a title winner?
I think it's a lot up to the title holders. A lot of producers I know, they just want to get a person of, you know, sincerity that is going to do something and represent the title well. So I think most producers are just like, hey, we want you to make this title whatever you want it to be. And I think that's true for Mr. Anvil.
So it sounds very empowering.
Yes, excellent. Very much so.
And is that how you started Team Friendly? Is that from your title win there?
Yeah, actually, September 2008. My husband and I designed the logo, a little plus and a minus sign. I made 200 buttons by hand to pass out to commemorate that speech. And I even had a little clipboard with a little symbol on it, and I gave a little speech about stigma, and everybody loved the buttons.
Uh-huh.
And then everybody was like, well, you're going to bring buttons with you everywhere you go, right? And I'm like, okay, here we go. And then, so that title year, I did 42 events that year.
Wow.
Passing out, you know, Mr. Friendly buttons. Back then it was Mr. Friendly, because it was marketed towards gay, bi, trans men. Mm-hmm. And which was the leather culture in Michigan at the time. So, and then it's evolved to Team Friendly now because we're expanded beyond the leather world.
And how many different chapters or areas? I know we've ran into it in San Francisco.
Yeah, it's it kind of ebbs and flows.
Okay.
You know, there's several that are in Texas that are kind of merging into just Team Friendly Texas. Team Friendly New Orleans is really strong. There's other kind of individuals that do things, like Team Friendly Florida is done by an individual. San Francisco is great. We have a really good team representation here in Arizona as well.
Excellent. And what excites you about Mr. Anvil Phoenix 2025? We've got a whole weekend full of events going on. What is it that you're most excited about? What are you going to attend?
I mean, I'm excited for the entire weekend because we're going to be doing a Team Friendly booth in the parking lot. And anytime the Anvil opens up the parking lot, it's a good time.
Right.
And it's also the first time I've judged in Phoenix since before I lived here.
I judged
at a contest at the Southwest Leather Alliance. Am I saying that right?
I'm not sure.
So yeah, years ago, like 10 years ago, I judged a contest here before I moved here. So to be asked to judge was a big honor.
Very cool. Excellent. Is there anything else that you want to say to the audience, to anyone potentially running for Mr. Anvil Phoenix?
There's lots of ways to help or support our community right now. You know, whether it's marching or supporting or, you know, Transpectrum Arizona, I work with through the, you know, Queer Center. Just packing, you know, packing and preparing for events and making buttons and cutting pieces of paper out. You know, there's lots of ways to just give back and support our community, and we need it now more than ever.
I completely agree. Well, Dave, thank you for your time. I appreciate it.
Sure. Thanks for the opportunity.
Awesome. Mr. Anvil Phoenix kicks off Thursday, April 10th with Bondage Karaoke at Anvil, and you don't want to miss it. Buy a raffle ticket during the event and you could win a Bluetooth karaoke machine with two mics and a 32-inch TV on Thursday's drawing. Every ticket is also entered into the $1,500 grand raffle drawn Sunday at 4:30. And you'll be supporting LGBTQ+ youth through Mulligan's Manor. Bondage Karaoke. The only safe word is encore. We'd like to welcome to the microphone someone who brings passion, presence, and pride to the leather community. He's Mr. San Diego Leather 2024. Welcome to the rainbow-tinted microphone, Mr. Earl Gray.
Hi, thank you for having me today.
You're welcome. Thanks for joining us. So let's start with you and what inspired you to step into the leather community and run for Mr. San Diego Leather?
You know, like I've been involved in the leather community for a little over 20 years, I'd say. My first experiences were inside of a bar in Nashville where we had the Levi Leather group in town that actually involved me as their bartender at first. And then I moved into to helping DJ and to on to other things, you know, supporting their events. And I really liked the brotherhood that I saw and I really felt within the community. So I carried on and I followed through the leather channels over time and, you know, come and go. But I really wanted to continue on. And in San Diego, it was originally it was an opportunity for me to make new friends because I was new to the San Diego leather community. And I wanted to branch out and support in whatever way I could. And surprisingly, I won. And I've enjoyed a year full of excitement and fun and adventure and been able to really make some amazing connections within San Diego.
Excellent. So my next question is generally, how has it changed your life so far? And it sounds like it's been exactly what you wanted. It helped you connect with the community.
Yeah, it's been rewarding for me as a leather as a person of leather. Because I've been able to make those connections that have helped me to grow not only as an individual, but someone who is much stronger in the community than they once were.
Now that you're a title holder, what does that afford you the opportunity to do?
It really gives me the opportunity to use my platform to do good for others and to be that representative that that people can look to. For myself, I'm sober 6.5 years. So a lot of people will come to me when they're struggling or when they just need somebody to talk to. And I really take that time out and I'm able to connect with them to help get them through some of the most troublesome times of their life.
Since you're going to be here judging Mr. Anvil 2025, what qualities or energy are you hoping to see from contestants here?
You know, I've only been to Phoenix a couple of times, but both times I frequented the Anvil and had an amazing time while there. So I'm really hoping that I see a lot of character and energy out of whomever the contestants are going to be, you know, just somebody who I know will represent their bar and bring excitement to them.
I saw that you were recently a part of a couple different panels. The history of leather, I think, was one, and there was another one kink and education. Are those things that you did prior to being a title holder? Have you always been a part of the community doing educational things like that?
They're actually not things that I was doing prior to being a title holder. Whenever I took the title last year, people would come to me and ask me questions about different kinks or fetishes that I was maybe not familiar with. You know, I think that whenever you're a title holder, folks think that you're an expert in everything, and that's just not the case.
It doesn't come with a sash,
or the medals. Yeah. So you know, like after a few weeks of that going on, I was like, you know what? Like, this sounds like people are needing some education and I could use that education as well. So I reached out to other community members or previous title holders to see who had experts in the fields that were being asked of me. And I decided that, you know what? Hey, let's all learn together. So I set up a Leather 101 series, where we would actually, bounce around from location to location within the community and give people an opportunity to learn this in spaces where they feel comfortable at. So it's I'm pretty proud that's happened. We had over 400 students throughout the year last year, my new title children have carried on the tradition and they're carrying on Leather 101. So it makes me extremely proud that something I started is carrying on today.
Excellent. So then it goes on while you get to focus on IML. Is that correct? Is that what you're going for next?
Yeah, that's my next thing coming up here in May. I'm a little nervous, I'll be honest. Yeah. But, you know, I know that I know it's going to be exciting and fun. And we already have a chat group together with all of the contestants that are coming from around the world. And from what I understand, this year is going to be the most international experience that we've ever had before. And so I'm looking forward to interacting with people from abroad and to learn about them and to, you know, really lift each other up through the experience as a whole.
Very cool. And you said that that's up coming up in May, right?
Yes, it's the last weekend of May in Chicago.
And are you all ready for it?
Absolutely not ready. I'm definitely somebody that procrastinates whenever it's something like this. So I'm thankful that our den daddy Miguel Torres is giving us little reminders constantly that, like, hey, like, you need to get your application in. Hey, this is coming up because I still need to do my application. So hopefully I'll get that done in the next week or so and get my pictures taken and everything that I need to get over to by the end of the month.
So help educate me. You said a term in there that I hadn't heard before. A den daddy. What's that?
A den daddy is they're kind of like the contestant handler. He's going to be making sure that, you know, like, we're all taken care of. He's been providing us with information over the past few months and keeping us up to date with any changes and modifications that are happening, like with the website or with the packaging that's going on for attendees and things like that. And he's going to be there to support us the entire way, all the way through.
Wow, that's really cool. And you said you have a chat channel with all the other contestants from around the world, right?
Yes. Currently, it looks like there's 66 of us in total right now.
And so then you'll all converge on Chicago for IML. And tell me what that's like. I've never been to IML. I've heard of it. It sounds legendary.
Last year was my first experience because I wanted to go and get a look at it before. Because I was Mr. Eagle the year previous to being Mr. Leather. So I wanted to go and get a little look at what I might be up against whenever I did actually choose to compete for the title of International Mr. Leather. And I'll tell you, you know, like, you walk into the Congress Plaza there and it is just a swarm of men and people and leather. And it's really wild. But the energy is just so overwhelming that you just get sucked right into it. And, like, you're just going and it's a buzz. Like, it's a real high that I don't really know how to explain it other than just excitement and
that was just buzz. As an attendee, like, not even as a contestant.
Yeah, that was just in attendance last year. You know, like there's a huge vendor mart that they have in the building, and they're, you know, everyone's staying in the hotel, and like, and there's this event going on or that event going on, and there's just lots of back and forth, and it's like being this wild leather hub experience. It's pretty amazing.
Wow, that sounds very fun. You're going to be a contestant. Are you ready for what that journey is going to be like?
You know, I've had such a busy schedule over the past year as it is. During my title year, I participated in 111 events.
Oh, wow.
So it was always a constant just go, go, go. So that sounds what's, you know, the scheduling for the contestants, it sounds like it's just going to be a condensed version of that. You have all of these things to get done, you know, this time, all day long for that, those 4 or 5 days, whatever it is. And I think I'm pretty sure that I can handle that with ease. It's going to be one full major, like, final rush to accomplish what everybody's looking to try and do here.
Do you have an entourage that comes with you? Is it just you? How do you travel when you go to something like this?
Well, I do have friends that are meeting me in Chicago from all over the country. One of them is my best friend from 20 years ago who we haven't seen each other in so long, and he's coming to support and stay in my room with me for a couple of the nights and really just be there and be that person to, like, help keep me grounded and centered. And then, like, you know, the other people are coming from, you know, other states I've lived in and And the support system that I have coming is going to be really nice. But actually, like when you're back there in the contested area, it's you and your siblings who are also competing in the contest, which I already know a lot of them too. So they're all really great guys. I'm looking forward to spending this experience with them. You know, it's going to be something amazing for all of us.
Excellent. So anyone who is debating on running for a title, whether it be for like San Diego or a local one here for Phoenix, what kind of advice would you give them if they're on the fence?
Oh, you know, it's an experience. You know, if you're wanting to run for a title, make sure that that this is something that you really want. Make sure that you've got the time and the capacity to put a real effort into that title. Because, you know, nobody wants for you to say, okay, I just want to collect this title and then just be pretty and wear a sash everywhere. People expect stuff of you, you know, like, and you can do whatever you want with your year, but, you know, like, make sure you give it some credit, because there's a lot of people that are in your community that are looking to support you and to make sure that, you know, they're able to be there for you. But yeah, I mean, it's very rewarding. The opportunity to be the representative for your bar or your city is very rewarding in itself, because, you know, you get to show everyone else, you know, what San Diego represents or what the Anvil represents. And you really get to be that person that people can look to be their role model, you know?
So if someone isn't sure that they're quote unquote enough of something, whether it's experience or whether they're known what would you say to someone like that?
Everyone is enough. You know, that's a given. Everyone is enough. Everyone has a million skills and abilities that maybe somebody else doesn't have. You know, and being a title holder, nobody is perfect. Nobody goes in having everything right. You know, I made mistakes during my title year, and I'm sure to make some mistakes in the future too. But
we are human, regardless of the title, right?
Yeah. But you know, you learn from those mistakes, and you know, there's a whole community of leather people behind you that are willing to give you the support that you need. Just reach out to them if you need help and be like, hey, I need help with this. And I'm 100% sure that someone will say, hey, I can help you with that. Let's talk about it. Let's go over what you need. And they're going to be there to support you, because that's how the leather community is. We're not going to let somebody fall and fail on their own. You know, it's just not who we are.
Excellent. And that's one of the things that I love about the leather community. Just for fun, if you had to describe your leather persona or your vibe in three words, what would they be?
Oh, wow. sweet, innocent, and shy. Yes, those are the words. Sweet, innocent, and shy.
I see that from your Instagram. You're so shy. Well, Earl, thank you so very much for spending time with me tonight. And
yes, Billy, thank you so much. I've had a great time speaking with you, too.
Excellent. On Friday, April 11th, it's the Bluff Social at Anvil. Tailored, tempting, and totally unforgettable. Buy a raffle ticket during the event and you're in the running for a premium leather prize pack. That includes a $100 Mr. S leather gift card, a custom flogger from Wayne Teske, a Lenovo tablet, top shelf liquor, and a vintage IML poster. Every ticket is also entered into the $1,500 grand raffle drawing on Sunday and supports LGBTQ+ youth through Mulligan's Manor. Bluff Social. Dress sharp, play smart, come walk the red carpet. Joining us today is someone who knows the leather scene from every angle, on stage, behind the scenes, and in the community. He's Mr. SoCal Leather 2019, a former leader of Onyx SoCal Southwest and the LA Band of Brothers, and now the producer of SoCal Leather and Fetish. Please welcome to the rainbow tinted microphone, Eric Wilson.
Hello, how are you?
Good, how about yourself?
I'm great.
Thanks for having us today. So, it seems like you've had quite a journey from being Mr. SoCal Leather to being a producer and judge. What inspired you to step into the leather contest world like that?
Yeah, you know, I think like you know, like maybe almost by accident, actually.
Oh.
Yeah. So, you know, I had finished my title year in 2020, and I had decided to go to IML at that point. And of course, COVID and all of that happened. And by 2022, when I went back to my now former producer to say, hey, is that IML thing still okay? He responded, you know, son, I think that, you know, I how about you become your own sponsor? And so basically that's how I was awarded the title, or how I was given the title back, actually. And that's why I produce it now. So eventually I ended up, you know, opening an LLC, and now we're, you know, SoCal Leather LLC. And yeah, that's how that started, actually.
And so how has that changed really your view as what it takes to be a strong title holder then? Because from being a title holder to being a producer, does that change how you see things?
Yes and no. I mean, I think that, you know, obviously having been a title holder, you know, I have an idea, of course, of what, you know, some of the things that you go through, right? Especially, you know, something that a new title holder might go through. You know, you don't know all the answers. You don't know all the people. You may not even know what your final platform is going to be yet, right? I mean, those are things that I went through, you know, in my title year. So as a producer, I think there's a little bit of understanding that comes with that. I think oftentimes, you know, I may look at a person's promise and what their will is and their authenticity is a lot more than, let's say, a lengthy resume, if that makes any sense.
It does.
You know, yeah, I mean, and I think that comes from, like I said, having come from that position of saying, you know, myself as a brand new title holder, I was only part of the leather community for, God, like, it was less than a year at that point. So I was pretty green.
So you were less than a year in with a community, but you still tried to run for a title. Or you still ran for time.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm in LA, you know, I'm sure you've heard, you know, we have 17,000 titles in LA.
That's true.
So they see new blood sometimes, and they do, you know, they do recruit you. So I had been recruited to run for a title. God, even earlier than that, I think I had only really been in the community for like 3 months, and I was recruited to run for a title, which I didn't run for. And then I did run for SoCal eventually. But all to say, I think that having that experience of being green and also seeing others having won something, being green, and they've gone on to do great things, right? So I think because of that, you can kind of, you know, as a producer, you can come in and say, just because this person doesn't have a ton of experience, if I can see your heart and I can see, you know, what your potential is, I'm more willing to bet on that than, you know, something that, you know, maybe super well established, maybe, you know, maybe their ways and opinions are kind of locked in, things like that.
What was your linchpin that made you, because you said you were being solicited early on, but you did not. What was it that you made you change your mind and go, yes, now is the time. Yes, I should do this. What was it, an event? Was it just seeing what other people were able to do once they won? What was the motivation that flipped the switch?
Well, honestly, when I got asked the first time, I have a you know, who I call in the community, my big brother, you know, who I told, and I said, hey, you know, I got asked to run for this contest. And, you know, his first question was, well, why did they ask you? And I said, well, I'm not really sure. And he says, well, do you know why you want to run for this title? And I said, no. And so long story short, you know, he kind of gave me some of the, you know, some of the backstory about, you know, some of the backstories. And, you know, and as producers, these are things that, you know, we have to be careful of too. You have to be careful about recruiting just to put people on the stage. And that was the, you know, the warning that I was getting at that time. Like, hey, you might be being asked just to get on a stage, you know, to make sure that this contest that they're asking you to run for has people to present for a contest.
So,
and
what is lovingly called filler queens on Drag Race? Is that what you're saying? Just a body to be up there?
Yeah.
Not necessarily someone who's going to make it to the finals, but we need X amount of bodies for someone to compete against.
Yeah. And looking back on that, he was probably 99% right, to be honest. But what that did do, though, is it got me interested that year. You know, because I'd always been interested in kind of pageantry. Like, I was always that little kid that was, you know, in my room in the dark, like, watching Miss Universe pageant.
Didn't right.
want my parents to see that I wasn't watching that. So I started going to contests right away. And so I very quickly was able to understand, like, how they worked and, you know, what was going to be expected of me and all of that. So, you know, so at that point, I was like, well, somebody did ask me for at least a reason. And I started to realize that maybe I could get up on that stage and do something. I had always been a very kind of a very typical quiet gay in my life.
Right.
You know, I was a person that would go out every once in a while. I had friends or whatever, but I didn't do anything. You know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean. I just went to work. I went out occasionally, but that was it.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, that was the life, you know, for me up until, you know, the time I got to be 35, 37 years old or whatever. And so I saw it as an opportunity to actually do something as well. You know, I had never been on a stage before. I have fears of public speaking, all of that. And I saw all of this as a way to not only, you know, do something, you know, in a space where I've never done anything before, but also maybe a space to, you know, do something for myself as well.
So did it help push you out of your comfort zone?
It did. It absolutely did. And, you know, 7 years later, you know, I'm still here. So that so it must not have scared me off too much.
What do you think is the one thing that people don't always understand about leather contests that you wish that they did?
Yeah, I mean, there absolutely are, you know, some of the myths and some of the things that people say in the community about leather titles. And, you know, and honestly, some of them are true. You know, there is that side of leather titles that, you know, like, you know, people that feel very mysterious and, you know, can be kind of clicky, you know, title holders kind of hang together sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But I think what they don't get is that oftentimes, you know, title holders, you know, are able to, you know, build relationships within the community with space holders, with vendors, with, you know, with business owners. And in a way, title holders can also help to drive programming within your community too, which I've always kind of thought is, you know, kind of the magic key as a title holder, that you mean I can go to a bar and set up an event of anything that I want and let it, you know, let it take off. I mean, I always thought that was amazing.
Right.
That you could basically just lay out the carpet and people will come. You know, and I think that's one of the things that maybe gets missed, because I think a lot of times, you know, when you just go out occasionally and the bar's open and stuff is happening, you don't really think about how it happens.
Right. Right. Who pulls it together? How did this happen?
Right. There's a lot of stuff that goes on behind the scenes that help make the community possible. And I think that's the part that I think the general public may not be as aware of.
What advice would you give someone who feels the calling to run for a title but isn't sure that they belong in the leather scene or that they're enough?
Well, I mean, the first thing is, if they have an urging to put themselves out there and they have the heart to want to do good for the community, first of all, that's enough reason to run for anything, right? I mean, I think that's what we want. We want, you know, good, authentic people that care about the community and want to bring people together. That's certainly the biggest thing. Yeah, you know what I mean? You're not there to run because you want to get your face on a magazine.
Right.
If you come with that mindset, that's usually a formula to not win.
If you're going for just the fame or the exposure without any of the heart.
Right. And the reason why that is because generally producers, you know, they call on judges that they, you know, that they trust or, you know, share similar values of what they're looking for. And judges will be able to sniff that out pretty easily. That's one thing I've learned about leather people. You know, we can sniff out phony. And if you're coming with false reasons for, you know, for wanting to win something, Yeah, that usually gets snuffed out pretty quickly, at least in my experience.
In your experience, what sets a great title holder apart from a good one?
Ooh, yes, I would say that's kind of a tricky question. Because I mean, what comes to mind right away is a great title holder can not only they not only maybe there's a cause that they're working for. And they make good on doing things for those causes or whatnot. I think a great title holder can carry on those things further after their title year is over. Like, what happened afterward?
So it's more the legacy.
I guess so. I mean, I think because we always say when someone steps aside or steps down, hey, welcome to Wuzzy Acres, right? And that's never been a role that I've really accepted. I've never really liked that term, but I understand that term because there are people that want to step up for a year, do their thing, and then go back down and go back down to where they came from, going back to being just a regular community person, or maybe they don't come out at all anymore, right? That was enough for them, right? Yeah, I mean, I think maybe that's the difference. It's did you stay around to do something else? Or did you, do something to kind of shore up your legacy? I mean, I think that's what would make you kind of the great or the legendary or the, or creating a legacy, if you will, right?
What excites you most about being a part of Mr. Anvil Phoenix here, or Mr. Anvil Phoenix weekend?
Well, it's the fun fact about me actually is I lived in Arizona for 3 years, 2003 to 2006. I lived in Phoenix, 2005, 2006. So I've always kind of had a kind of a soft spot for Phoenix. But I haven't been to visit Phoenix in about 3 years actually. Just connecting to the Phoenix community will be nice, just because I have former ties there.
Finally, what message, legacy, do you hope to pass through your work in the leather community?
Since 2019, we've been in some very, very trying times, and in our country, which are certainly impacting our community, right? One of the things that I really, really hope to leave our community is that, hey, no matter what your gender is, your sexual, orientation, if you're leather and you're kinky, we belong together. And I think that we really to do work to really help us, come together without so many of those barriers. And I guess I've always known that not everybody has a space, but I'm realizing how many people will utilize a space if it's given to them. And I think that we need to be better at recognizing who needs a space and creating space for them, so that way we can all be, together. Because we have a whole lot of kinky people out there, and we should all be doing that stuff, together. And
That pretty much wraps up the questions I have. Is there anything that you want to say to the audience, at your socials? How can people find you?
yeah, I mean, first of all, just want to send a quick thank you to the Arizona Men of Leather. It's an honor and privilege to having been to be selected a judge for the upcoming contest. And yeah, I can be found on Instagram at Mr. SoCal Leather 2019. The Mr. is MR.
Excellent.
And that's it.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Again, thank you for joining us. Coming up Saturday, April 12th, the stage is set for Mr. Anvil Phoenix Contest and AML's legendary Outdoor Dungeon. Come cheer on the contestants, explore live demos, and soak in one of the hottest nights of the year. Buy a raffle ticket for a chance to win a 50-inch 4K smart TV, plus entry into the $1,500 grand raffle drawing on Sunday. Mr. Anvil Phoenix, AML's legendary outdoor dungeon, Saturday, April 12th. Step into the spotlight. We'd like to welcome to the rainbow tinted microphone the Bare Naked Yogi and his husband, Forrest and James.
Hi.
Welcome.
Thanks.
All right, so you guys have Melrose Yoga out in the Gayborhood.
Yes, we do. We had a sort of very soft opening, sudden opening February 1st of 2024, and we've been there ever since, just growing and growing.
Awesome. And you've got some special events for AML, the Mr. Anvil Phoenix weekend. including the first I knew about the leather yoga on Sunday. Let's talk about that one first.
Sure. I think that's Sunday the 13th at 11 a.m. We decided to do leather and yoga experience. We're calling it Power and Submission. So we're going to go ahead and just do a normal class. My same drop-in price, $25. It is going to be sort of dealing with poses, yoga poses that offer dominance and submission, or, you know, power and surrender, if you will. So, you know, you can't have one without the other, almost a yin and yang kind of thing. And there will be some light partner work involved with that as well. But it does seem like it's appropriate for that Sunday if people are up for an 11 a.m. class. You can definitely explore these poses and find out why, you know, they would be considered dominant or submissive, or, you know, power and surrender. And that's just, you know, in conjunction with that weekend.
And are they encouraged to wear leather to do the yoga poses in?
Normally, these are naked classes with the yoga, but I would say that, yes, they could also come in. They could probably wear their harness. I mean, anything, obviously, that they were going to come into, they could probably just take it off as needed as well. That's not, you know, if they just felt like they needed to. But honestly, yeah, they could wear their harness or their, you know, leather jock strap, whatever they wanted.
I'm not sure a lot of leather is going to be comfortable doing yoga.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering. That way, it's going to be like probably more of a naked experience, or nearly naked experience, if that's what they want to make it.
And speaking of naked or nearly naked experiences, you were just about to tell me there's another new thing that's been added for Saturday, correct?
Right. I guess I'll preface this. I normally on Saturdays at Melrose Yoga in the studio at 11 a.m. on Saturdays, we have a men's naked yoga, beginner yoga class. The beginner yoga class isn't just come in, shut up, do it. It's easy. It's actually like a little workshop. You can ask questions. We can, you know, actually go over certain parts of poses, and people can actually learn something and take it with them. In addition to that, offsite at the Grit, which is the gay resort in Tempe, it's in a residential neighborhood. I'm starting at 10 a.m. I'm actually personally going to be teaching there. My husband and our boyfriend will be teaching the beginner yoga class at the studio while I'm at the Grit. It's called Stretching Sluts and Slings, and it's a men's naked yoga pregame. So we are going to go ahead and focus on a lot of poses that are going to give you a little bit of energy, that focus on, you know, first and second chakra techniques, breathing, moving, making the experience a whole lot easier. You know, one of the slogans we've been throwing around is yoga makes me a better bottom.
And with that note, I'm signing up. That's hilarious. I love that.
And then ultimately, since we seem to be working backwards on the calendar here, which is fine, Friday, which is April 11th, we are getting quite good at taking the Melrose Yoga space and transforming it into a dungeon, so to speak. So, you know, leather-oriented dungeons. We've got access to multiple slings. We actually got downright butched last fall, ordered 3/4-inch plywood panels to actually create glory holes that we can move around and put in different places. And we took the...
I love those glory holes, by the way.
Right, and we took the time to actually have some of our taller friends and some of our shorter friends stand and measure from the ground up to their crotch to make sure that we had at least 9 different heights for those holes, so, you know, everybody could definitely find their favorite, the one that fits them the best,
the one that works best. So, for them.
That's April 11th from 8 p.m. to midnight. We are also a sober space. We've got 3 bars right within proximity to the yoga studio on the Melrose district, right there on the curve. So we are marketing Melrose Yoga space as a no drugs, no alcohol, so the sober space. in the neighborhood. So that being said, you still got a couple of hours to go out and grab a drink if you want to. We are like literally 40 paces down in the same building from the Rock.
Yeah, your location is great. It's right there in the neighborhood. It's perfect.
You know, I couldn't have, I don't know how that fell into my lap, to be honest with you. It was a funny story.
We have to thank Patrick Kelly at Offshoot 2.
We do. Shout out to Patrick Kelly at Offshoot 2, because we are right above him, and he is nothing but a wonderful neighbor. He's also been very helpful getting us involved with the Merchant Association, the 7th Avenue Merchants Association, the ones that put on the Melrose Street Fair at the beginning of March every year. So yeah, shout out to him, but we wandered in there on New Year's Day, 2024, and we saw him and he said, "Hey, are you still looking for space?" And I said, "Yeah, I've been looking for 8 months for rental space anywhere in Phoenix." And the lady upstairs at that, dance studio had given her 30-day notice. So, lo and behold, we've got this, great space. It was twice as much as I wanted, but it was in the right location at the right time. So we jumped on it and, yeah, you know, any business that starts up its first couple of years, a lot of hard work, and it sure has been, but it's also been very rewarding. To say the least, we've met a lot of new people and we had a following, cause I used to teach in little spaces I'd rent around town. On my back patio during the pandemic, teaching online, keeping the naked yoga thing alive. And what's great about Melrose Yoga is I don't have to just teach naked yoga anymore. I can open this up to the whole community. So I do have clothes-on classes. When you look at melroseyoga.com, there's beginner classes. I teach a Monday class, Power Vinyasa Flow. There's a men's naked class, however, Monday through Thursday at 7:30 p.m. no matter what. So really good program. Really happy to have it. Everything I dreamed of.
and I have to say that that story warms my heart, because that's the whole point of like this podcast and why we did Gay PHX, is to help connect the community together so we can hear stories like that, so we can learn that that's how we're better together.
Absolutely. And falls right in line with our philosophies.
Yes. And so this is the Friday night Melrose Play Party that is listed on the schedule, correct?
Yes. We've listed it as called Hot Iron Heavy Load. And it's kind of a little nod to Anvil with the hot iron. And yes, we didn't want there to be any pretenses about it. This is going to be 4 hours of come on in, and we're not messing around. Or we are.
It's all about the messing around, right?
Right. So the entry fee is $30, and I actually have that set up. If you were to visit Mustache, MustaCHe, and then PHX.com, it should take you right to the event, and you'll be able to RSVP ahead of time and get a little electronic ticket. So when you come on in, you'll be all set to go. And it's fun. We have a closed check, which is actually decidedly now run by our good friend CJ. And we keep your things safe. We encourage you to please leave your cell phones, with a closed check, just because that weirds people out when you take them into a party like that. And come in and enjoy yourselves while you're there.
Now, last time you had a masseuse on site, is that happening that evening as well?
Well, since it's a men's party, we do prefer to have a masseur, but...
Sorry, masseur?
Yes, sir.
My terminologies.
We are. I'm going to actually reach out to him soon, and more to that point, we've opened up a room in the studio now that's what we're calling the stretch room. So we can have private sessions with dynamics stretching. Licensed massage therapists can also rent it out for their own use. So we're like I said, we're just growing every day. That will be available. So it's sort of a twofold thing. We can actually get people to see that the room would be available, but also a little bit public for the party, so you can see the erotic massage part happening and Yeah, that was a big hit at the last party. We noticed that we had like a consistent line of 5 or 6 people.
Yes, there was always a line.
Erotic massage. So we're going to try to keep that one up, give the people what they want.
I love that.
And by the way, Billy, I wanted to mention too, while we're on here, I'm going to be teaching courses at the and private sessions at the Tidal Wave Party in Palm Springs.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
So look for me there as well. I'll be putting some availability up for that weekend for private sessions, as well as I'll be teaching in the Hilton Palm Springs, one of the ballrooms there they're going to give me, so that I can teach a couple of classes a day to the people attending Tidal Wave.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's a great segue, because yes, we are very excited about Tidal Wave. I know it's Gay PHX and Tidal Wave happens in Palm Springs, but it's thrown by people that live here in Phoenix. So we feel exactly. Fair calling it a Phoenix event, even though it's not.
Yeah, you know, we tried it out last year just as kind of a trial run and just sort of bought tickets and went and did the thing. And I really got there and didn't. I was overwhelmed, let's say, by the response. You know, when I'm normally used to teaching anywhere from about 12 to 20 guys at any given time. And when I was getting 40 and then 50 and then 55 and 60, I was a little overwhelmed. But you know what? I just opened up my voice and taught that class and had my helpers. Absolutely. And it really worked out well. So I definitely am looking forward to this year. We're going to be a lot more organized about it and have a lot more to offer.
Yeah, honestly, last year we were expecting 2 or 3 people to show. I mean, who shows up to do yoga at, you know, 9 a.m. at a bear run?
Hey, the bears turn out. They do.
Yeah, they That's, do.
I mean,
they
perked out for sure. For every single one, I was so like flattered. So that's why I said I'm really looking forward to
and
it.
And that partner yoga class was a huge success. There will definitely be doing a partner yoga for Tidal Wave.
Yeah, see, that's awesome stuff to hear about is the partner stuff, because sometimes it's kind of intimidating by myself. So if Brian were there, like, I think I'd feel better.
So the thing about the partner yoga class, Billy, is that you don't have to show up with a partner.
Oh, nice.
So every 2, 3, 4 poses, depending on how many people are in the room, we do a partner swap.
Oh, very fun.
So then you get to just go experience somebody else. I have people that show up with their husbands and they still opt to do the partner swap and go through the whole class. I have plenty of people showing up by themselves. But yeah, you don't have to bring anybody.
And if you don't want to swap, you don't have to.
That's good to know. It's all consensual. We're all about consent.
Absolutely.
Alrighty, and your social medias, how can people find you?
Well, my social media, this is Forrest, and it has always been, you know, any version of Bear Naked Yogi. So that's Bear like Gurr, Bear, B-E-A-R, Naked, and Yogi, Y-O-G-I. And yeah, just except for Twitter, because I just can't do it. You know, that's gone a long time ago, but you can find me on most of the social media, Instagram, Facebook, and
Blue Sky.
Exactly.
And James, yours?
Mine is Shy, C-H-I, Bear, B-E-A-R, P-H-X. I have kept that since I lived in Chicago. I moved here and just added PHX to the
end. Oh, I was like, shy.
I'm originally from Chicago, so I just kept it.
Hey, I guess. Shout out to the Midwest. All right, guys. Thanks so much for joining me.
Thanks for having us, Billy.
Thanks for having us, Billy. It's good to hear your voice, and hopefully we'll see you in person soon.
Yes, definitely. And thanks to you for listening to the very first episode of the Gay PHX Podcast. We know this ran a little long, but that's just because there was so much to cover. Special thanks to my guests, Dave Watt, Earl Gray, and Eric Wilson, for taking the time to share their stories, and a huge shout out to Melrose Yoga for all that they do for the community. Let's make sure that we show them all a little extra love this weekend. If you like what you heard, make sure that you follow and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, and check out gayphx.com for photos from Rainbow Fest, our event calendar, and to let us know who you think we should feature next. This is your community podcast, and your voice belongs here. See you next week.
We're together, the sun is bright, and there's no